If I could pay you less, I would.
Yes, minimum wage. It might be a thing of the past. Who knows? Looking at this Brett Kavanaugh's record, are we back solidly in the days of the Lochner era? Will the 20th century be repealed? Are we going to put blacks back in the fields and gays back in the closet and women back in the kitchen barefoot? The record, not very good in my view. And to be honest, you're right from the start. This pick, again, under the taint of this administration and under Trump. I mean, Gorsuch, the stolen seat. This one, you got a guy who's under indictment. You've got a president who's under investigation, possibly indicted down the road. And a justice who's saying, well, we might not hold him accountable. Gotta wonder. Here to share some thoughts and maybe allay some of our fears. I've asked Kevin Mack to come talk with us. He's the lead strategist with Need to Impeach. Kevin, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick, how are you?
I'm not great, to be honest. I'm looking at this pick, and you know, from where I sit, he's none of them were good, but he's right up there with the worst of them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just exactly what you'd expect from a corrupt president, right? I mean, he picks the one guy that has the biggest conflict, the man who basically already said that no president should be exempt from criminal prosecution or investigation while he's in office. So you can always expect Trump to go to the lowest place he can go, and this is another example of it.
But honestly, isn't this, because, you know, I was having this conversation just yesterday of, you know, isn't he the one we want? Because that's a glaring thing that you know, people can grab onto and say, look, maybe this isn't the guy we should have on the court. And maybe this gives those four Democrats the cover to say, wait a second, that's a bit too far. And maybe you grab one of the Republicans so you stop this.
Gosh, I hope. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we had checks and balances and the establishment in Washington actually stepped up and did their jobs? But let's be honest, since Trump's been elected, we just haven't seen it.
Right.
Definitely not by the Republicans. And I would say even among the Democrats, a lot of them are just looking the other way. So hopefully the whole process will take place and the establishment will do what they were elected to do. I mean, I you walk around the country, you talk to people. We're holding a series of town hall meetings all across the country, and people are just begging for Congress to step up and do their jobs. And they haven't seen it so far, so hopefully this will be a change.
Oh, and then it brings me back to some questions that I have, because you know you've got this president who is under investigation, and I'm sure that you know that there are a lot of Republicans who are worrying because you know maybe they've got you know some things in their past that could be being looked into. It just seems to me that until this investigation is completed, until the cards are on the table, I'm sorry, I just don't think we should be making any big decisions.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, Donald Trump is a deeply flawed individual who will do anything to protect himself. I mean, I even think he'd throw his own family under the bus to protect himself.
I'm fully expecting that.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's going to be in a position to ignore special counsel Mueller, to make his own set of rules, to pick his own judges, potentially pardon himself, pardon his family members, you know, and all these various things. And it is a degradation of our American society, and too many people are just shaking their heads rather than taking action. You know, it's something crazy to say.
No, I mean, we really need to be taking action, because, you know, I look at another one of these, and I put Kavanaugh in the original intent ideology category, or am I wrong, do you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, this is another person who was chosen for one reason, and that is that he believes presidents should be exempt from criminal prosecution, right? So, of course, Donald Trump would pick him. I mean, because Donald Trump is about covering and standing up for Donald Trump, you know, first and foremost. And, you know, the question is, will the establishment let that happen, or will they hold him accountable and basically say, hey, you know what, there's other more qualified people. Let's choose someone else who's not tainted.
Yeah, I mean, but here's my problem. I look at, you know, this whole original intent ideology that you see on the far right. And I look at someone like Kavanaugh, who I argued earlier was, you know, with someone that this guy's been groomed since birth to be a Supreme Court justice. You look at his credentials. I mean, they've really moved him in that direction. But with this ideology of the original intent, which, you know, basically wipes away the entire 20th century and returns power, yep. you know, back to not to you and me, but to the very moneyed interest and to the, you know, the white landowners over 21.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a corporate takeover. I mean, it just goes one step further to what we've seen here, you know, over the last several years in our country. And that's where we the people come second and corporate America and right-wing ideology come first. And it's just it's got to stop, right? I mean, we all got to step up and do what we could do, whether that's, you know, marching, signing petitions, making demands, but doing whatever it takes. And I would argue that Democrats have just been too polite and have tried to play by the rules, and it's time for us to be tougher and stand up to power. You know, yeah, and that right now is the Republican.
At least in my lifetime, you know, Democrats have always been that one. They've always been the weaker party. In fact, I remember, you know, Dick Cheney back during, while he was vice president, you know, someone said, you know, will Democrats cave? And he goes, of course they'll cave. It's what they do.
Yes.
And, you know, and I remember that vividly. And, you know, sadly, you know, they're not the, you know, person you want beside you in a street fight. Maybe if you need someone to hold your coat, but they're not going to mix it up with you.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, Democrats and Republicans do everything differently. But one of the main things you see legislatively or electorally is that Republicans look for issues that have 30% or so support. So think about like building a wall or Second Amendment freedoms or taking away a woman's right to choose. And they use that to fire up their base and to go out and motivate people to vote on their behalf and get elected.
Right.
Democrats, in the meantime, get an issue that's got 75% support, and they walk away from it for fear of offending the other 25, right? I mean, it's an exact opposite way of governing, and it's a failed strategy. It's time for us to, like, start playing by the same set of rules.
No, I'm with you. And in Roe being one of those issues that, you know, as a society, we've pretty much, you know, the majority are, we want safe, legal. Like, I'm not pro-abortion. I'm pro-safety. I want my daughters to have safe, legal care in the event that, you know, that's the path that they choose. I don't want dirty backroom abortions back. I don't want people dying, especially poor people dying. But it looks like, and, you know, it looks like that's going to probably go by the wayside very soon if this guy's put on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Rick, I agree with you 100%. And so here's the big question that all of us have to ask ourselves. So I'm a big Democrat. You're a big Democrat. There's other people listening to your show. The big question is, what are people in Washington, what are the Democrats going to do? I mean, I know they're going to tweet and they're going to put stuff up on Facebook and they're going to make speeches, but what else are they willing to do? Are they willing to bring the Senate to a standstill? Are they willing to go outside the lines? Are they willing to put themselves out there or even their careers out there to do what's right for a generation of Americans that can't stand up for themselves right now?
Can they?
And honestly, I don't know.
Can they stop the process? Because, look, you know, I've got Republican friends who say, the Democrats started this, Kevin. You know, if they wouldn't have done the way with the filibuster for those judicial nominees, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Yeah, but again, how many times have we seen this? Every time something like this comes up, Republicans always figure out some way to make the rules work to their advantage to get things done. And Democrats always start from the position of there's nothing we can do.
No, I absolutely agree with you. There's no argument to that. They're much better, you know, because I believe I think we all believe that they would most certainly go scorched earth. Nobody believes that the Democrats would burn the house down. I think everybody I know believes a Republican would burn the house down.
Yeah, totally right. I mean, we just play by two different sets of rules. And this is one of those times where it's finally time to say, stop being polite. Don't worry about cocktail parties. Don't worry about, you know, all these other things, the niceties of Washington, D.C. Step up and protect the people who put you there and do your jobs as a Democratic Party and do your jobs as, you know, elected representatives. It's not okay to say, well, nothing we can do on this when we did our best. That is not an acceptable answer right now.
No, I'm with you on that. But, you know, outside of holding the four Democrats, Heitkamp, Manchin, Donnelly, and, well, I wouldn't even Jones. Jones is not up for another 2 years for election. But outside of holding the three of them, you know, in line and voting against this nominee and hoping, you know, Rand Paul or Murkowski or Collins step forward, outside of that, is there anything Democrats can do? Because there is no filibuster option. Is there anything technically, you know, Marcus of Queensbury rules? I don't know. Is there any way of stopping this and, well, demanding that, you know, Republicans follow the McConnell rule?
You know, I mean, I'm not a U.S. senator, and I'm not there every single day. But it just, again, I've been in this business for a very long time. I've worked for speakers. I've worked for other legislators before. And there's a will, there's a way on these things. There's a lot of horse trading that goes on. There's a lot of gamesmanship. There's a lot of things that happen. And the question is, are we willing to go to the lengths that it takes to protect the people who voted for us? You know, and I just don't know that the will is there.
No, we get this. See, I remember the Gorsuch pick, and I remember saying, you know, you filibuster this, and they're going to do away with it because they're going to regardless. And everyone's saying, no, we saved that one. We saved the filibuster for the next one because that's really the important one. And I'm going, well, look, if they're going to do away with it for this one, they're certainly going to do away with it for the next one because this one really is the more important of the two, in my view, because, well, you just replaced Kennedy, which was a huge pickup for them for another generation.
Yeah, and this is the point. Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell play by, again, a different set of rules. And I'm sorry to keep saying it, but it's just the absolute truth. They don't care about the rules of the Senate. They don't care about the mores of Washington, D.C. They do whatever it takes to succeed. And we constantly, as Democrats, kind of go back and say, well, boy, we hope that they'll finally, like, follow tradition, or we hope they'll finally do the right thing, or this isn't how it's always done. Exactly right. It's not how it's always done. You know, my example of this is impeachment. So President Trump's already passed the threshold for impeachment, and, you know, he breaks the law before our very eyes every day through the Emoluments Clause and other things. And when you bring this up, people say, well, we don't have the votes for this, or, well, it's not so bad, or, well, let's wait till the Mueller report comes out, or whatever else it is. But at the end of the day, like, Trump's not playing by the same set of rules. What are we going to do to, you know, to change the rules for ourselves? You know, I don't know. I mean, but something has to happen.
But what do you say to the person who goes, you know, Kevin, we really want this guy to the roadside, but you don't have the votes. And by Democrats, you know, running on this and, you know, saying this is what we're going to do, it actually hinders their ability to take back the House or even the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, people say that, but I just don't buy it. I mean, we have to go out there and use the thing we have, which is our collective voices. We have to have Republicans pay a price. I mean, they don't love Donald Trump, and they can turn on him, but we have to force that to happen. So, you know, an example is Sarah Sanders goes out to dinner, and people say, hey, you shouldn't be here, or somebody asks her to leave, or whatever, and half the Democrats come back around and say, no, we have to be civil about this thing. You know, like, well, why? Why do we have to be civil? If all we have is our voices and all we have is, like, public shaming or calling people out, why not use it?
No, I'm right there with you. I said the exact same thing. Look, if your policies weren't so horrible, you know, and you the public didn't see you as soulless and evil, you know, maybe you wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah, or like Alan Dershowitz, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm not getting invited to cocktail parties anymore. I'm like, really? Like, you know, so what? Like, do we have some constitutional responsibility to invite, you know, lawyers, constitutional lawyers to cocktail parties? No. If you're going to stand up for Donald Trump, you're going to pay a price, you know. And by the way, I mean, ask his campaign manager or all the people who work for him. I mean, everybody who comes in contact with his president ultimately pays a price. And so if you decide to join him in his cause and you decide to enable him to allow him to do these various things, you're going to pay a price, whether it's today or tomorrow or long term. But it's going to happen. Yeah. Right. So, you know, be ready for it.
No, I'm with you. But, you know, make the case for impeachment then, because, you know, I've got a lot of friends who say, well, you know, he's just making a little bit of money off, you know, the Chinese, you know, renting out his hotel. You know, that's not really a high crime or misdemeanor. So make the case without the Mueller investigation. What's he done?
Well, he's committed 8 impeachable offenses. The 2 that are the most obvious are the Emoluments Clause. Now, you're right. Some people will say, well, he's just making a little money. He's just making a little money there. But, you know, not really. I mean, let's look at China. I mean, he's, you know, we've got tariffs against China now, and all of a sudden, you know, his daughter's getting special privileges on her tariff requests and her, you know, the things she's looking for to do business in the country, and he's making $2 million in payments through Trump Tower, right? So, I mean, everything that happens here is that Trump is held to a lower standard than other people, right? Trump is making money on a daily basis off foreign governments. He's making decisions about those very same foreign governments. That is against the law. It's not okay for politicians or others to just kind of say, well, all of a sudden, like, that doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, it does, right? The president of the United States cannot break the law every single day or obstruct justice or put children in cages on our borders or attack the press, all these various things. I mean, it's all impeachable, right? Whether people want to believe that or not. And it has nothing to do with the 2016 election. It has to do with defending our democracy moving forward.
And, you know, you throw the 2016 election in there, and I still believe there was coordination between the Russians, you know, however you want to define them, the oligarchs, the front groups, the Analytica people, all down the line. I still believe there was coordination there, even if it was unwittingly, because their Junior and the other ones weren't bright enough to figure it out. But I know Manafort was.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they were. I mean, let's not forget, Mueller's a Republican. He should be allowed to do his job without interference. So far, you've had 23 indictments, 5 guilty pleas, and 1 prison sentence. And that's in 1 year. And we're just getting started. It's going to get worse and worse, and more facts are going to come to light. So again, all of our friends who we know are Republicans are saying, well, it's not so bad. They didn't know about it. They didn't know what they were doing. No, it's illegal. And if it's illegal, you need to be held responsible for it.
Yeah, when I was
so
a
it's
kid,
interesting to me. Oh, go ahead.
No, when I was a kid growing up, you know, that argument didn't hold water. Ignorance was no excuse.
No, exactly.
You broke the law. Yeah. You still broke the law, even if you didn't know it was the law.
Yeah, Jared Kushner and Donald Jr. are not the two brightest bulbs. Absolutely right. But at the end of the day, if a foreign national calls you up and says, hey, let's get together and talk about how we can help you beat your opponent, that's against the law. And I'm sorry, these guys are bright enough to know that's a big problem. But, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, Donald Trump's been bailed out by the Russians for his entire career. And I think actually, like, they thought it was perfectly normal. I mean, this is how their business is funded. They're used to getting money from Russian oligarchs. They're used to being somewhat dirty. And they're used to getting away with it.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, they're in a campaign that they're losing. They're in trouble. They're having a hard time raising money. So what do? Well, they reach out to their friends, the Russians, and ask for another bailout. I mean, this is the way Donald Trump survived. Nothing new.
Nothing new at all. And anybody who lived in New York or knows people who live in New York know that tale, which is why he didn't win the work. Let me ask you a last question about your work and what you guys are doing, what need to impeach. How can people help? How can people get involved, join in? Because I know a lot of our listeners are on that bandwagon already that, you know, this guy's got to go and that whole night in there. What can folks do?
I appreciate that. Well, first of all, go to www.needtoimpeach.com and sign a petition to hold this president and all of his lackeys accountable for their misdeeds. That's the most important thing we can do, is raise our voice. Second, we're holding town hall meetings across the country, and our 21st is tomorrow and 22nd the night after that. And so come out to one of these town halls, meet other people like you that want to make a difference in this election cycle. And then once you sign the petition, we'll start interacting with you through email and other things to make sure that we have a big blue wave this November. I'll tell you something that a lot of people don't know. Of the 5.4 million people who've already signed our petition, 67% of them are infrequent midterm voters, right? So let me say that again. 5.4 million people stepped up, put their name on a petition to hold this president accountable, and 67% of them are infrequent midterm voters. So we're going to run a big multi-million-dollar effort to make sure these folks go to the polls this election cycle, to make sure their voices are heard, and to make sure that the establishment's held accountable, including Donald Trump and all of his enablers.
And maybe that might be just enough to get over the gerrymandering and the voter suppression of the machines and the voter ID and all of that stuff. The new blood in there might be just enough to keep them from stealing this round of elections.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tom Steyer is, you know, working extremely hard to make sure we get all these things done. He is investing in a youth program, one of the biggest in the country. He's helping register 18-year-olds to make sure their voices are heard after the Parkland shooting. He's working with Latino communities to make sure they have the legal services they need, get registered and get out to vote. And he's working with these 5.4 million people who know we need to defend our democracy. So it's a multi-million-dollar, multi-pronged effort, and we're going to work it extremely hard for the next 118 days.
Good stuff. Kevin, I appreciate the time. I'd love to have you come back and talk to us again at some point.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Appreciate all you're doing, too. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Kevin Mack, lead strategist there with Need to Impeach. Again, the website, needtoimpeach.com. We'll get links out to make sure people can take a look at it. Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.